Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 2426, with a release date of Friday, April 26th, 2024, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A California ham club faces homelessness. Good copy again from the Voyager 1 space probe, and big changes are in the works for MFJ Enterprises. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2426 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Union, Kentucky, here's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
We begin this week with breaking news. As Newsline went to production late Thursday, April 25th, MFJ Enterprises confirmed that it was making major changes to the 52-year-old business. MFJ's location in Starkville, Mississippi, will remain open, but its operation will be shrinking dramatically. The changes are expected to be felt throughout the amateur radio realm, according to office manager Nancy Capps. In a letter released publicly late Thursday, company found Martin Chu, K5FLU, explained that the devastating impact of the COVID-19 pandemic and his own desire at age 80 to have more family time were the impetus for the change. No information was immediately available about the fate of MFJ's sister product lines, such as High Gain, Cushcraft, and Ameritron. Newsline will be following these developments. Our other top story takes us to California, where an amateur radio club that has provided life-saving communications and assistance to its community is about to become homeless. We have that developing story from Ralph Squalachi, KK6ITB.
A California ham radio club that has provided disaster communications and other community services from its building on city property now faces an emergency of its own. The Santa Barbara Amateur Radio Club has until the end of July to find a new home for its members and all its radio equipment. Since 1975, the club has been permitted to use the site owned by the City of Santa Barbara, where it built an earthquake-resistant, climate-controlled modular structure. Now the city needs the land back to accommodate a construction project that will replace an aging reservoir near that property with two reservoirs that are 5 million gallons each. For the project to go forward, the ham club and a number of other users of the land will need to vacate the premises. The club's director at large, Levi Maia, K6LCM, wrote in a recent op-ed piece on the Ed Hat Santa Barbara website that, quote, "The club now faces an uncertain future due to the new municipal developments and lack of a permanent home for its facilities," end quote. Levi wrote that the club has been unable to find a replacement site that would accommodate the club's communications requirements to fulfill public safety communications needs. He said that, so far, no alternate site has been identified and the club remains without a solution. The club has appealed to the local community for help. This is Ralph Squalachi, KK6ITB.
There's good news for NASA's Voyager 1 deep space probe, which is back to transmitting usable data to Earth after a chip malfunction left its messages garbled 5 months ago. NASA announced that a coding fix by scientists at its Jet Propulsion Laboratory restored viable communications. NASA said it has since received good data from Voyager 1 about the health of its engineering systems, and it is expected to resume its scientific mission shortly. Meanwhile, it's easy to forget that its twin probe, Voyager 2, has been maintaining reliable contact with Earth thanks to a very special antenna in Australia. Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, brings us that report.
The Deep Space Station 43 radio antenna near Canberra isn't just Australia's largest antenna, but a reliable source of two-way communication with a variety of space explorers, including Voyager 2 as it goes out in search of distant planets and investigates the heliosphere. It's been on the job for half a century since the era of NASA's Apollo program and was recently declared an IEEE milestone. IEEE President-elect Kathleen Kramer heralded it formally during a recent ceremony as, quote, the only remaining antenna on Earth capable of communicating with Voyager 2, end quote. It was built to be capable of capturing transmissions that begin many billions of kilometers away from a 23-watt radio. The DSS-43 antenna, with a dish diameter of 64 meters, has been in service since late 1972, and its earliest mission was to receive audio and video from the Apollo 17 mission from the surface of the Moon. Its declaration as an IEEE milestone is recognition of the antenna as an innovation that has provided a great benefit to humanity. This is Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
U.S. lawmakers are about to resume a controversial debate. Should it be mandatory for new vehicles in the U.S. to have an AM radio receiver? Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, picks up the story from here.
The future of AM radio will be taking center stage among the United States lawmakers starting on April 30th. The Energy and Commerce Committee of the U.S. House of Representatives will begin a hearing on the language needed to fine-tune the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act of 2024. With the increased popularity of other listening modes in motor vehicles in the U.S., AM radio has been seen by many, including some automakers, as optional in new cars. Those who seek to preserve its inclusion for drivers stress AM radio's vital and long-standing role in transmitting emergency alerts to the public over the airwaves. Curtis LeGayette, president and CEO of the National Association of Broadcasters, has called AM radio the backbone of the nation's emergency alert system. The proposed legislation would require the Secretary of Transportation to mandate access to AM broadcast radio in all vehicles. DRG News recently reported that the bill has enough support in the U.S. House of Representatives for it to be passed by that chamber. Last December, Senate supporters tried to pass a similar bill by a procedure known as unanimous consent, but that attempt failed. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The citizen science group HAMSCI has just released its very earliest observations about the solar eclipse and its impact on propagation, as we hear from Cell MB KB3TZD.
There's still plenty for researchers to study, but data from more than 52.7 million radio contacts that came in from WhisperNet, PSK Reporter, and the Reverse Beacon Network on the 8th of April is providing researchers with early insights into the solar eclipse's impact on the ionosphere. Reports published online indicate that propagation was enhanced on the 1.8, 3.5, and 7 MHz bands, an effect that hints at less absorption in Region D. Near-range communication challenges on the 14, 21, and 28 MHz bands suggested less electron density in the atmosphere. The Citizen Science Research Group HAMSCI studied the data between 1800 and 2100 UTC collected during its eclipse CUSO party. Meanwhile, speaking of time, a Doppler shift lasting only a few cycles per second caused a small change in the frequency of transmitted time signals in the United States at radio station WWV, which is operated by the National Institute of Standards and Technology. According to a published report online, the shift did not cause anyone to lose the correct time of day. The change was compared to normal variations that occur between night and day. This is Cell MB, KB3TZD.
The next solar eclipse will arrive in October over the Southern Hemisphere, and you can help observers there participate safely. Jack Parker, W8ISH, tells us how.
Parts of the Southern Hemisphere will be treated to a solar eclipse on the 2nd of October. The Ring of Fire annular eclipse will be visible over southern Argentina, southern Chile, and parts of the Pacific Ocean. To help fellow amateurs and youngsters experience this solar event, Youth on the Air will be collecting donations of eclipse safety glasses from visitors to the Yoda booth at Dayton Hamvention to send on to the South American hams. The Yoda booth is number 4304. While you're dropping your glasses off, learn more about the camp for amateurs from 15 to 25 years of age. It will take place this summer in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and first-time applicants are encouraged to submit an application. The camp will be held from the 7th through the 12th of July. Follow the link in this week's Newsline script on our website, arnewsline.org. This is Jack Parker, W8ISH.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including FM radio station KRHJ in Lamar, Colorado at 88.3 megahertz. Newsline is heard on Fridays at 5 p.m. local time. Congratulations! The station marks its second anniversary on the air on April 29. For the first time in the Indian state of Maharashtra, ham radio operators will be assisting at some polling stations underserved by wireless communication. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, has those details.
Without satellite phone service, cellular network, or the availability of runners, the Pune district of Maharashtra will be relying on amateur radio operators to relay the telly from the Indian general election. Polling will take place through late May to fill the state's seats in the Lok Sabha, the lower house of India's parliament. Nitin Aynar Pure, VU2CAN, who will be directly involved in the effort, said this is the first time hams have relayed poll results in the state of Maharashtra. There is, however, some history of amateurs assisting elsewhere in Indian elections. In a number of rural villages in the southern coastal state of Kerala, local elections were held in October 2010, with support from the Idukki Ham Radio Emergency Communication Society. And in 2019, the Election Commission and the Ministry of Communications authorised amateur radio operators from the West Bengal Radio Club to provide communications for the election in 31 districts in that state. Meanwhile, this year, the West Bengal Radio Club has already assisted one very determined voter in that state, a 95-year-old woman from Bihar. The woman had gone missing, but was reunited recently with her family with the help of the hams. According to press reports, she expressed two wishes: to see her great-grandchildren again, and to return to her village and cast her vote. This is Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
When does a special event week last all month? When it's SOS Radio Week in the UK. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us more.
Throughout the month of May, when the Royal National Lifeboat Institute conducts its annual fundraiser, May Day, hams throughout the UK will be on board. In recognition of all lifeboat crews, including independent ones and coastal watch keepers, hams will be getting on the air at various times between the 1st and the 31st of May. Listen for special event station GB0FLB, which will be on the air from Fleetwood Lifeboat Station on the 4th and 5th of May. The station is being run by Thornton Cleveley's Amateur Radio Society, based in Lancashire, and is one of the many getting involved. Listen too for MX0KWA, which is being operated by the Kent Weald Radio Club at various times from the Kent East Sussex coast. For more details about SOS Radio Week and a full list of stations, visit the link in the text version of this week's Newsline script at arnewsline.org. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In Queensland, Australia, the Bundaberg Amateur Radio Club and the Wireless Institute of Australia have teamed up for a major event, as we hear from John Williams, VK4JJW.
The Bundaberg Amateur Radio Convention, being held from the 3rd through the 5th of May, is two events in one. The Wireless Institute of Australia will be holding their annual general meeting at the Bundaberg Multiplex Sports and Convention Centre in Queensland. In addition to the AGM, there'll be plenty going on inside the state-of-the-art convention centre, including a lineup of guest speakers, hands-on demonstrations and workshops. An ISS contact is also planned with students from the Bundaberg State High School. The lineup of speakers includes Peter Cossens, VK3ATV, discussing amateur TV, Stephen Green, VK2TSG, offering a look at prepping and amateur radio, and Dr. Kevin Johnston, VK4UH, offering a medical perspective on the dangers electricity poses for radio amateurs. Newsline's own Graham Kemp, VK4BB, will be part of the lineup too, giving an insider's view on how the WIA news service is run. For registration information and other conference details, follow the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is John Williams, VK4JJW, and I'll be there too.
Do you know a promising young radio amateur who'd be a good candidate for the Bill Pasternak Memorial Young Ham of the Year Award? Let Newsline know. Candidates must live in the continental United States and be 18 years of age or younger. Tell our judges about your nominee's talent, promise, and commitment to the spirit of ham radio. This is your chance to help honor and acknowledge that person who will, no doubt, go on to teach and inspire others. Find the nomination form on our website, arnewsline.org, under the Awards tab. Nominations close on May 31st. In the world of DX, listen for special event station GB6WW on the air from Glasgow, Scotland, from the 1st through to the 28th of May, marking the anniversary of the end of World War II in Europe on VE Day, May 8th, 1945, and remembering the sacrifices made by those who served and suffered. The GB6WW award is available via download to hams who complete three contacts on three different bands, regardless of mode. QSL via George, MM0. DFV. A group of 13 cam hams from Cambridge, England will be on the air from the Isle of Mull, IOTA number EU008, as GS3PYE from April 27th through to May 3rd. Listen on 80 through 10 meters and on the QO100 satellite. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Listen for Harald, DF2WO, operating as 9X2AW from Kigali, Rwanda, from the 2nd through to the 17th of May. He will operate on the HF bands and 6 meters using CW, sideband, and some FT8, FT4. We end this week by recognizing International Marconi Day and by noting that Marconi's first name needs some proper recognition, too. Richard, VK2SKY, hopes to help us out with this.
Hello, I'm Richard VK2SKY in Sydney. It's that time of the year again when amateur radio operators throughout the world celebrate the ritual mangling of the name of one of radio's best-known pioneers. Yes, it's April, the month we celebrate International Marconi Day. April 27th this year is the Saturday closest to the birth date of Guglielmo Giovanni Maria Marconi in Bologna, Italy, in 1874. Guglielmo is the Italian equivalent of the English name William. Had Marconi's Irish mother, Annie Jamieson, just named him Liam, the world might have been spared the annual abomination of English speakers trying to pronounce his name and failing miserably. Perhaps Annie's being of the Irish whiskey distiller Jamieson family might have played a role here. We'll never know for sure. To set the record straight, our Marconi has never been Googly Elmo, so please stop calling him that. The letter G in the middle of an Italian word is not pronounced as it is in English. Instead, it modifies the sound of the letter that follows it. Think of the G in the middle of the word lasagna. Recently, I consulted with fellow Manly Warringah a Radio Society member Clifford VK2CLF, who can speak with some authority on this matter, having some Italian background himself and fluency in the language. A decent approximation to the correct pronunciation is Guglielmo. It's not perfect, but it will do, especially over an HF radio link. Please try it, and in a nod to Quentin Tarantino, let's kill Bill, or at least kill Googly Elmo. I'm Richard VK2SKY in Sydney.
Don't forget the Amateur Radio Newsline Haiku Challenge. If you're not too busy tuning your antennas or chasing the latest de-expedition, pick up a pencil and share your experience by sending an original haiku to us here at Newsline. Use the entry form on our website, arnewsline.org, and please follow the rules for writing your three-line haiku. Sorry, but we cannot accept entries that aren't written in traditional haiku form. Share with fellow listeners the poetry that is inspired by your ham radio experience. With thanks to Amateur News Weekly, AMSAT, CQ Magazine, David Bihar, K7DB, Deccan Herald, DX News, Ed Hat, Santa Barbara, 425 DX News, IEEE Spectrum, KEYT-TV, NASA, QRZ.com, Santa Barbara Amateur Radio Club, shortwaveradio.de, SpaceWeather.com, Times of India, Yahoo News, Youth on the Air, MFJ Enterprises, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, non-profit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Union, Kentucky, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2024. All rights reserved.